Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this evening is taken from the third chapter of Genesis, the Old Testament, which has already been read. He begins by introducing doubt into the equation. Doubt. Did God really say, "You shall not eat of any tree of the garden"? Doubt. And at the same time, quoting God and getting it almost right, and at the same time making God look like a real, "You mean God put all these trees here with all this food, cherries, apples, bananas, oranges, and the like, and he won't let you eat any of it?" And Adam stood there and listened to his wife correct the snake, mostly. "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" And God truly, of course, did tell them not to eat of that one tree, but he never forbid them to touch it. And how old is legalism, adding to the law? It goes back quite a ways. And formerly, the legalists among us forbade things like dancing and driving in cars, but smoking, that's probably okay. The current legalists forbid women from obtaining advanced degrees, serving in the military. They insist on the one-year lectionary, condemning the 90% or more of us who use the three-year lectionary. You know, God gave us 10. And when you've mastered those 10, come and talk to me. Maybe we will be ready for more, but for now, the number is 10. And how about some half-truth mixed in with pure falsehood? Another favorite of the tempter. "You will not die." Well, at least not right away. At least not physically. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And at that point, Eve and Adam, he was standing there, must have wondered, "This thing called evil of which you speak." Remember when you were a child? You were ignorant of a lot of things. It means you didn't know a lot of things. And life was probably better not knowing a lot of those things. When Thomas Gray famously proclaimed, quote, "When ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise," I think he's on to something. The poem is Ode to a Distant Prospect of Eton College, and it's about a young man about to be sent off to boarding school where he will lose his innocence, which comes from his ignorance, not knowing, of child. He's going to come out the other end a man. And remember when you were a child? Alas, says Gray, regardless of their doom, the little victims play. No sense have they of the ills to come, nor care beyond today. You see how all around them wait the ministers of human fate and black misfortune's baleful train. Ah, show them where in ambush stand to seize the prey, the murderous band. Ah, tell them they are men. I think that when I was a child, I really didn't have a care in the world. Mother and father, check. Grandparents, a short walk across my aunt and uncle's backyard, stop and visit with the cousins. Always homemade baked bread and cookies waiting. And we played a lot. We never wanted for clothing or shelter. and we ate like kings. That was the world. And we were blissfully unaware of things like war and its meaning, poverty, suffering. Even more so the toddler who is kind of waited on hand and foot without much being expected in return. And the world of the infant knows nothing except eating, sleeping, and the dirty diapers. And it's other people who feed her, provide her with a warm place to sleep, and procure those clean diapers and change them, and devote body and soul to the safety and security of the infant, and you haven't a clue about any of it. You don't know what dangers you're being protected from. And that was Adam and Eve in paradise before the fall. So, if we eat that, we can know good and evil, whatever that is. But to be like God, that must be a good thing, right? When I started listening to Jim Fisher on the radio, that was enlightening. And the bliss of youth began to fade. And then I went off to college and learned things I had never known before. And reading John Keegan's The Face of Battle, war is a nasty business. Perhaps the better life, Gray speculates. Well, maybe Peter Pan got it right, don't grow up. Or at least Gray might have said, there are things that you can't unsee once you've seen them. And there are things once you know, you can't unknow them. Thought, he says, thought would destroy their paradise. No more. Where ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise. But I think it's not like Eve was thinking it through when she did what she did. And then she handed it to him. He was standing right there, and he did what he did. Why did they do it? What were they thinking? Well, it was not theological contemplation or reason or anything like that that led them to do what they did. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, and the assumption on the part of Eve, who already knew good, they were pure good, living in the midst of pure good. The assumption is that evil, whatever that is, will make me wise. Well, sort of. Upon eating the forbidden fruit, then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And I've avoided talking about that for like 35 years or more. And the way I avoid talking about this is I don't really know what this means, this idea about them being naked and recognizing they're naked. So then on Monday, I kind of thought, maybe I should find out what that means. So I'm looking at the commentators, and the old-timers, they kind of wish that God wouldn't have put that there, that Moses wouldn't have put that word there, because then they have to look at it, and they have to maybe read it in church. You may have noticed that humans are alone among God's creatures in wearing clothes. And not just some of the humans wear clothes. The natural man knows to cover it up, and we do. Cultures who don't cover it up are rare and the exception, and we don't just cover it up, we cover it up and then we run with it. We use clothing to indicate status, to make a fashion statement, to tell people which is our favorite team. People wear work clothes at work, they wear shorts and a t-shirt at home. And how many uniforms identify how many different kinds of people? Police, military, the pilot, the bus driver. Baseball players dress on the field differently from football players. And sumptuary laws, they're called, used to dictate who was allowed to wear what kind of clothing. Look it up, sumptuary laws. Mostly to keep people in their respective places. Small children, in their innocence, don't yet know to cover up. And we laugh when they run around in their birthday suits and then we make them put something on. And that's Adam and Eve in paradise. And then they ushered sin into the world. And at that moment, the bliss of their ignorance of evil vanished. They knew the meaning of evil, and they scrambled to find something to cover up. Never before had they felt the need to hide from God, but now they knew. They do. And we know how this thing ends. Yeah, when we were children, when we made ourselves scarce or even hid from our parents, it was for a reason. God finds them. They have that rather awkward conversation. You know, when Adam first saw Eve, he thought that she was God's greatest invention of all. But now, this woman, you know, the one you put here, so it's her fault. But really, it was your fault, God, for giving me this woman here. And neither of them denied the obvious. They had eaten the forbidden fruit. Eve goes all Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it, and that's close. The devil tempted you to do it. But you made the call. It was your choice, and you chose poorly. And yeah, you want to know the origins of evil? There you have the origins of evil. And there's a lot of it out there, and it isn't pretty, and it can be pretty ugly. And so where do we go from here, Adam and Eve? Well, when my father found me, there were always consequences, but he made it clear that I was still his son. He probably even told me he loved me. First, because he housed Satan. Snakes don't have legs or wings, but they move around by slithering along the ground. That, and one day, you won't know when, one day I will come for you, Satan, as a human, and you will hurt that man, but I will destroy you. Another distinction between humans and animals. Human mothers bring forth children with pain, which I understand is like no other pain. Animals, not so much. And you will want to rule over your husband, but that belongs to your husband. And Adam said, and Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat. Adam, life is going to be hard. When people first invented false gods, the first god invented was the earth, and she was not a god male, but a goddess female. These days, when people invent false gods, sometimes they worship the earth, and the planet is always a goddess, female, not a god, a male. And people speak of Mother Earth, not Father Earth, and the mother in Topeka, who tells people how to get things from the ground, that's Mother Earth news. It's because the natural man thinks of the earth as female, because the earth brings forth life. And the earth brings forth a lot of life. Even after the ground is cursed, thanks to Adam's sin. Imagine what it must have been like before that first sin. And no weeds either. Now there are weeds, and there are bugs, and it's a competition out there. And however you eat your daily bread, it is by the sweat of your brow. Nobody gives it to you. And there's an asterisk there, because we could talk about that a little bit more. So life after the fall into sin. Wasn't always like that. And one day, it will not be like this again. Because God did come into the world, taking on human flesh. And that human flesh was attacked by fought against Satan, and that human flesh suffered all things, even death, the blow to the heel, prophesied in Genesis 3. 3 days later, that seed of Eve delivered the fatal blow, crushing the head of Satan, also in Genesis chapter 3, and he rose victorious, and he gives that victory to us. When I worked for my father, I couldn't wait until I turned 18 so I could drive a truck. First thing, my father wouldn't be telling me what to do all the time. Sure enough, when I turned 18, that corn just sat there behind me, riding along, mile after mile, abject silence. And I could listen to whatever I wanted on the radio. Secondly, I saw new things. I saw new things, mostly small towns in northern Illinois and eastern Iowa, but still, and wide open spaces. The beauty of God's creation over here, over there, and it's a wonderful creation, greeted many a sunrise up on the 280 bridge. On our honeymoon, we went out west, and I couldn't get over the wide open spaces. I took a lot of pictures. Then we got to the mountains. And we lived in northwestern Montana for a year in Glacier Park. It's beautiful. And in Colorado Springs for 2.5 years, my office had a panoramic view of Pikes Peak. And we've traveled. And most of the places we go, we say we're going to have to go back. We'll see. But I have concluded that I'm not going to see it all before it's time for me to check out. Some of the wonders of God's creation will just not be gotten to. And the humans have taken stuff that he put here, and using that creativity that's part of our image of God, we have done some pretty good creating things themselves. I'm partial to churches. I like to go to churches, but I'm not going to see them all. I think that's what heaven is for an endless beholding of the wonders of God's new creation. The one that's going to be better than this one. And this one's pretty good. All the while praising God for the goodness of that new creation. Like we daily praise him daily for this old, broken down creation. It's pretty good, this old, broken down creation. Can't wait for the new one. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.